What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles and the only Islanders podcast that constantly needs help from Bridgeport. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined this week by Kenny Iavero.
How's it going, guys?
And Ben Cohen.
Is it a sign that I'm younger than both of you that I'm like low-key a little bit salty that you said Kenny before me?
Yes. Yeah, my bad.
Like, I'm not even... No, let me rephrase that. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Well, I got bad news for you. Next week, I'm doing the same thing.
No, next week you're going to say our guest first, are you not?
Oh, well, maybe, yeah. You're letting the cat out of the bag a little early, but we are working.
Have to know who the
it's
guest
not
is.
It's not, you know, it's something we're working on. It should be a lot of fun, but hey. There's hockey again. We got two games in since the last episode. We got a back and forth kind of affair against the Vancouver Canucks. And then a nice game last night against the Dallas Stars. So let's jump into it. And then we'll address some of the bigger topics. I think we're going to talk goaltending. I think we're going to talk, obviously, Kiefer Bellows. So let's get into the Vancouver game first. Any overall thoughts, boys?
Decent. Like coming out of the break against a team on a winning streak. I know we were texting constantly about how we love to be negative, and we'll get to the game last night. I'm already forgetting who we played, Dallas, and how I was sort of telling you guys like, okay, let's be positive, like we won. But in Vancouver, there were also positives to take from an overtime loss in, where you score a tying goal in the last minute against a team on a three-game winning streak coming back from not playing for 10 days.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It was huge, especially, like you said, coming out of a 10-game break against a team that has been, I think, we would agree they're overachieving this year, right? But still,
yeah.
They're a dangerous team.
Yeah, you could say that. I think also they've been building something for a while. They're still very young, so the wheels could fall off. They're also getting the benefit of being in a weak conference. I mean, right now, if the Isles were in the West, they'd be the second-best team in the West. So it's like, but it's time for them. I mean, they've done it right. They've kind of rebuilt. They've got Pettersson out there. They've got Besser. They've got Bo Horvat, which I love, is like a little bit more skilled Casey Cizikas, the way that kid that skates.
Yeah.
And then they got Quinn Hughes, and I mean, Markstrom's playing well for them. Yeah, they got a good team. Definitely no slouches for sure.
But that was a huge win, though. And to come back like that, like, definitely showed. No, I'm just saying, well, to get the point, I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh, to get the point, no.
Yeah. But like you kind of foreshadowed earlier, but the goaltending, I don't think Greiss played great. But the team picked him up, so that's a huge sign. Like, that was as good as a win for me coming out of, like, the break of how we've been playing. So, yeah, well, I guess we'll get to Dallas. But, yeah, that was definitely a good game, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, overall, it was nice to get the point. That was, like you said, tough game coming out of the break. And, what was it, 10 days off, between games. So you knew there was going to be some rust there. So, all right, you get the point, which is good. Then you go to Dallas. I was worried about the Dallas game. This one Varley started. So Greiss started Vancouver game. Varley started the Dallas game. Biggest story of the game was that this was Kiefer Bellows' first NHL game. So we're going to take the loss on the hot take that I think Ben and I both made. Kenny, I don't know if you were in on it or not, but we both said that we didn't think Kiefer Bellows was going to play a game for the Islanders the way that his season went last year and the beginning of this year. But
I forgot about that.
Oh, my friend.
Yeah, I don't want to even say that I disagreed. I just don't know if I even – I either agreed with you guys or just didn't have an opinion on it, because I don't think I saw him really making it this year either. But, I don't know. I mean, this is the Islanders now. It's like they're not going to rush prospects and they're going to – torture us.
No, for sure. And before the game, I was excited. I've been, so my whole thing with Kiefer Bellows has been, it's been a wild ride. I was really, really high on him after seeing him in World Juniors, especially that outdoor game where he played so well, celebrated in front of his, you know, the guy wearing his dad's jersey, just like really cool stuff. I had mentioned this before, but my girlfriend Jules lived in Portland and caught a lot of Winterhawks games, and he was like a stud for the Winterhawks. So, you know, she was telling me how awesome he was and all this stuff, and she got to see him so many times. So I was like really, really hyped for him. I thought he looked really good last year in preseason, and I was like, okay, maybe they're going to call him up. But no, they wanted to season him a little bit, and then slowly but surely, like all of last year in the AHL, he had a really bad season. Then he started slow this year. His training camp didn't look good. And then all of a sudden, like, they scratched him for like a week. He didn't play for like a week. I don't know what they did, if they just needed to like kind of like shock him a little bit. And he comes back and he's just like on a complete tear. And he's really been consistent since that point. And that was about a month ago. So I guess they figured it was time. Kunackle had a miserable game against the Canucks, so they needed something. So they said, okay, well, why not? We've tried Koivula, we've tried Wahlstrom, we've tried Bardreau. Let's call up the next one. So they call up Kiefer Bellows. And so now, you know, I'm like, I'm pretty pumped. I mean, he got an assist in the game. It was a kind of a he definitely deserved it because he carried the puck in and then he forechecked afterwards, got the, you know, kind of chipped the puck a little bit. So he got the secondary assist on it, which I thought was well deserved. He played 9 minutes, 10 seconds in the game, was a plus one, and he was pretty involved. I mean, my whole thing, and then I'll turn it over to you guys. I said this to you both. I'm tired of us putting the prospects in that third line hole to just wither away and die. We saw them do it with Wahlstrom. We saw them do it with Koivula, and I was very worried that the same thing was going to happen with Bellows, because realistically, I mean, he's playing with Derek Brassard and he's playing with Michael Dalcol. And those are not puck possession guys. Those are not top end guys. They chase the puck more than they have it. And so I don't think it's a great place to put your young wings, but they didn't look out of place last night. So that was kind of my takeaway. I thought he had a pretty good game for playing all of 9 minutes.
Yeah, and I agreed with you. Everything you said about not being ready to give him that role, to not wanting to give him, you know, down that third line hole as you were saying, but also I really liked how that line played last night. I really liked Kiefer Bellows' game. I also thought that Dalcol and Brassard, I don't want to say played well, but played way better than their average, and I don't think it's a coincidence that that was with a new and improved line mate in Bellows, but I also think it's important to like give them credit because they're 2/3 of the line, and because that line played well, I'm now less. I don't want to say I definitely don't disagree that we need to stop, you know, putting the new guy with those two. But I will say, I think that that line last night earned our patience with it for a couple games to see how it turns out. If Brassard goes back to, and Brassard and Dalcol go back to who they are, and, you know, there's going to be the Bellows 9 minutes to 8 minutes to 7 minutes to 6 minutes to the AHL like Wahlstrom, then I'm 100% back on that. Pissing on that idea of the third line. But I think that this game was the best the third line has looked in a long time. So I'm willing to be patient with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely probably agree, just to like wrap it up. But I mean, if you're looking at the type of player Bellows is, I think he's kind of a perfect third line center, third line like player. He's got a physical edge to him. He could score goals. He's definitely going to be skating his ass off, so it might make that whole other 2/3 of that line play above their, you know, what they've been playing capabilities at this point, because they've struggled, but they've also had like a rotating door of not so great players. So
yeah,
let's see.
It's
maybe
been
this,
such a mix, man. It's been such a hodgepodge, like you know, you got Komarov in there, you got Kunackle in there, you got Dal Colle in there, you've got the rookies in there, you've got Brassard in there sometimes, sometimes you've got Bailey down there. Like, it's just like, I'm telling you, it's Barry Trotz's cry for help. He's just going to keep putting the scraps together in the third, you know, in a third line spot,
yeah,
and play them 8 minutes until Lou gives him something, because there's nothing else he can do. I mean, there really isn't. Now, the thing I like about Bellows that I didn't really get a chance, I mean, I've seen him in Bridgeport, but what I liked about him last night was he plays the wing very high. Like, he's kind of like in between the top of the circles and the blue line when the puck's in deep, which I like, because our wings are always so low that, you know, and justifiably so. I mean, we chip the puck in and then we battle to get it. That's kind of the Islanders' game. But
I think,
like,
because,
like,
they're passers. Like, those guys are passers, and Bellows is a shooter. So it's like,
yeah, exactly, exactly.
Look at where he was in his first shift when he got that pass from literally, it's a toss-up whether it's Brassard or Dal Colle, because, like, does it matter?
Yeah.
On his first shift when he got that shot on goal where, mm-hmm, like, can you imagine the reaction if he scored?
Yeah, it would have been crazy. But that's basically – has to be it, right? I mean, that's where the coaching staff's going to try and put him to get, you know, get the most out of him. It's going to be right there. So
I think so. I want to see him on the power play. He's a natural shooter.
I think if he gets one goal, they'll give him a shot for sure, at least in the second unit. Let him get one goal first.
Can it be any worse? Can it be any worse?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, listen, let him get, like, a couple shots on goal. I don't know if you just put him right there. Like, I don't know. Let's see. We only played two games in the past, like, 3 weeks. So it's, like, it's hard to, like, see where this is going, because I think a couple of guys that we wanted to step up have stepped up offensively, so I don't want to really mess with the
Beauvillier
top six.
How about him, man? Have a night last night. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, like, Beauvillier just has to, you see it, like, dude's a big game player. Like, he's a sniper, man. Like, he could do everything. He could be so good if he had another guy on that wing. I mean, everyone talked about what's going to happen to, like, Barzal's career if he gets a winger. Beauvillier is going to get so many points too. Like, the guy's, he does it all, really. He just needs, they need a little bit more top end, like, skill. But I don't know if you want to, like, bust up the top six right now for Bellows. Maybe Bailey. I don't know, because he's been struggling.
No, I wouldn't. I like Bailey up there. I don't think you'd touch the top six right now. I mean, I think you'd leave it as is. Let me ask you guys a question. I'll start with Ben on this one. I saw this theory floating around, and all it is a theory. Nobody knows anything. But do you think that Bellows is up here to show that he's NHL ready and to make him more of an enticing piece for a trade?
I was thinking the exact same thing. And the issue, and this is probably a shit answer for your question, but the issue is that if one of the opinions that I saw online was, if you bring him up and he doesn't work, then you're like, well, we'll trade him. But that decreases his trade line, his trade value. And if you bring him up and you like him, that increases his trade line, his trade value, but you might want to keep him. So that, with that logic, I'm leaning toward, well, yeah, he's might not have a future with the team, so he could be a trade piece. But at the same time, like, do we look like making a trade?
If it's for Taylor Hall. I don't think so. Go ahead, Ken.
I'm saying if it's for Taylor Hall, sure. Yeah. But I'm not going to, like, give it for Mike Hoffman and whatever other guy that's on a UFA coming up. I want a high-end guy.
Hoffman's nasty, man.
He's nasty, but he's also older. Like, I don't know. He's 30-something years old. And he's a rental, too. So, and you think about one guy that can keep up with the style of play Barzal has. Taylor Hall is probably that guy.
You got to get off the Taylor Hall thing, man. It ain't happening.
I'm just saying. They're saying he could get traded, so.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, the Coyotes, like, suck.
Yeah.
He's like Matt Duchene. Disaster follows wherever he goes. Do you really want to
have a relationship with Eberle? Did they get along and stuff? Did they play together? I didn't really look into that.
I think they did.
No, they played together in Edmonton. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, I know that, but did they play on the same line and like kill it? Or did were they friends and stuff? Like that takes.
I mean, have you seen Edmonton's record over the last decade? That should answer your question. I don't think anybody killed it over there except for when they got McJesus.
No, yeah, but the top end guys, I mean, like the top three guys.
I'm kind of busting your balls. I don't really want Taylor Hall. I think that he's like a. Now that I've seen what happened, like, he joined a team that was, like, on the verge, right? Like, same thing there. Probably all their fans are like, yo, we're one piece away. And then all of a sudden they get Taylor Hall. They're like, oh, my God, we're going to make a run. And then it was just like, no. Mm-mm.
To be fair, they're also still 4 points off of the division lead.
Right, but how many points do they actually have?
Like, right, but they also have 61 points.
That's not bad. 61's not like, for the West. That's not bad. That's not.
If he wants to win a Stanley Cup, then he's gonna come here.
You're comparing them to the Islanders. They have five less points in four more games.
Yeah, that's the West. I'm telling you. So like, if you look at this, is a good time to I think kind of pivot a little bit. If I pull up the standing, so it was funny. We were talking the other day. Not on the podcast, just, you know, in our little group text. And we were saying, like, how everything is the same but different. So what spurred that was we were looking at the Isles record last year versus this year, and it was identical at the same mark, right? It was 29, 15, and 6. Same exact record. So it's like, all right, it's the same, but it feels so so different than it did last year. And I think the biggest reason for that is the strength of the division this year versus last year. You know, this year has been more feast or famine than last year. I think last year kind of, you know, was a slow burn. And then the Isles kind of hit their stride and they were just very consistent. They didn't win every game, but they played the same game. This year, it's not like that at all. It's, you know, they were on fire at the beginning of the season, and now they've really been, like, average at best. So the interesting thing to me is just, you know, okay, well, besides that, why does it feel so different? And I think the answer is if you look at the conference. So, like, last year at this time, I forget if we were in first or we were in second, but we were, like, neck and neck with the Caps, like, the entire way. And if you look at it this year, and I'm waiting for NHL.com to load, which is the absolute worst website in the world. So this year, if you look at the conference, Caps have 77 points, right? They are 11 points ahead of where the Islanders are at. And the Islanders have the same record they had last year. So Washington is just that much better this year. Boston's got 76 points. The Penguins, 33, 14, and 5, 71 points. The Lightning, who were in the basement for the beginning of the season, have caught fire. They're 33, 15, and 5. Columbus is ahead of the Islanders. Now, they've played three more games. But Columbus is 29, 16, and 9. They got 67 points. The Flyers have played two more games, and they're only a point behind. The Panthers are 2 points behind, and they've only played one more game. So, like, that right there is just so telling that there are eight more teams that are in the mix and that are strong, where, you know, last year it was, we were just eyes on the prize. It was like first place. They were going first place the whole time. So it's just crazy how different it is this year because of the Metro. And I don't know if it's because the East is just feasting on the West or what, but it's just, it blows my mind.
I'll say that the way it looks on the, in the standings, is definitely the big difference. But to me, the bigger difference in this record after 51 games versus last year's record after 51 games, what makes it feel so much worse is more that last year we were trending up. And until the break, I think it's hard to say, you know, how the Islanders are trending after, you know, two good performances and two wins, but it's only two games. Until the break, the Islanders were trending down. And down in a big way. We're talking, I mean, the results were okay. The performances were less good. And sure, that was 100% exacerbated by the strength of the competition. But the trend last year was like, we were right in the mix, you know, first wild card spot, second wild card spot, at best third in the Metro until December. And then we trended up. we were with the Caps until December, and then we trended down. And when you're looking at where your team is going, I would have rather have been in last year's position than this year. And part of it goes back to that matter of expectation that we talked about last week, is that you expect more this year. You know, you said that swept the Penguins in the first round after we were supposed to be a basement team. But the trend is everything, because we talk about how momentum on the ice is everything in hockey, but momentum off the ice is just as important.
Yeah, I would agree, but I also think that right now with this break, I'm kind of like, let's split the season directly in half. The first half, I think we did really, really good until the end and faltered, and now that break kind of gives us, you know, like everyone looking forward to going on vacation, like we kind of mentioned the last podcast. I think the effort that has been shown by the forwards and defense has improved, but the goaltending is still, you know, the reason why we're not fighting for first place with Washington and Pittsburgh, in my opinion. It hasn't been great, and neither of them has really shown, you know, who's going to get us out of this. But I think that the forwards and the defense have all somewhat at least kept it afloat. We got 3 out of 4 points. That could have been way worse, you know? So I'm thinking that a Trotz team is not going to just fall apart. You know what I mean? So I'm going to be positive with this one and think that we're going to make the playoffs, probably third spot over Columbus. I don't think that's going to last. And the Islanders have a ton of games in hand. We are playing good. If we get any resemblance of the goaltending we had in the first half, we'll be fine. But right now, it's not looking good.
No, I mean, but, and I think what it seems to me is that the goaltending has gotten worse as the season's gone on, which is the opposite of what happened last year. I mean, last year, Leonard was kind of, you know, he was hurt here and there, but like, second half of the season, he was the Isles guy. Like, they had a guy to rely on. And when he wasn't ready to go, or he wasn't having a great, you know, a great week, you had Greiss chomping at the bit to get in there. And now it's like neither one of these guys is ready to pick up the, you know, to pick up the baton and go with it. And it's that's what's you know, troubling to me. And you know, you look at the season Leonard's having, and it's just frustrating, because I don't think the team is doing all that much differently this year versus last year. In fact, at least lately, like, they've been scoring goals, but man, they aren't getting saves. I mean, that goal that Varley let in last night against Dallas, the guy ramped it into his own net. Like, you can't have that stuff. Like, not in these close games, and not the way that this team plays hockey. You know, the Isles are last year they were bend, don't break, and they would let in, you know, they'd let up the chances, but you knew they were getting a big save. Now it's 50-50, and when those pucks are going in and they're not the defensive juggernaut that they were last year, it all the other flaws show. And you know, really, I mean, it just seems to me like such a miscalculation to let a guy like Leonard go. And I know at the beginning of the season we were saying system, it'll be fine. But I think Greiss is showing you who he normally is, which is an okay goalie. He's a backup goalie. And Varley is supposed to lead this team for the next 4 years. I don't see it.
For sure.
No.
Not at all. And we were talking about at length over the summer, and it wasn't just us. You were looking at Staples say it, at Gross say it, at, you know, the NHL guys saying it, about how the Islanders' goaltending last year was a team effort between Leonard and Greiss, but also, like, you didn't watch the games and say so often, like, wow, the goaltending, like, was really amazing. You looked at the numbers and was like, wow, the Islanders had a ton less shots and won. And there were that's not to say there weren't some draw there weren't any jaw-dropping saves, because there were. But in general, it was like, okay, the Islanders have really good goaltending from both of these guys. But it's not like you're seeing them stand on their head. You're seeing shots from the outside and stuff. Whereas you're looking at it last night, and Varlamov numbers wise didn't have an awful game. 903 is not great, but for a game where you made a ridiculous mistake and the rest of the game to be 28 for 30 is like decent. The issue is what a text that Kenny, you sent us maybe a minute into the game. The first save he made, I think it was on Pavelski, or either Pavelski or Perry. Now that they play on the same team, that's just like the same person to
me.
It's
so bizarre, isn't it? Those two being on Dallas, like, ugh, it's so weird.
Yeah. Both so weird, and now that they're old washed players on teams that aren't their actual team, that's just like the same person in my head. But I think Varlamov made a shaky save, and you were like, Varlamov does not look confident. And the score was 0-0. The Islanders are winning in shots 4-1. But instead of thinking, oh, well, this started well, you're thinking, this started well, but shit, I'm nervous because the goaltending doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. And that was never the case last year. Never.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, last night, Isles were up in shots, like, what, 16-3?
And it was 1-1.
Right. And it was 1-0, and then they take a penalty, and boom, it's 1-1. And it's like, you know, you do all that heavy lifting, and you're right back to square one. Yeah. And, you know, that goal certainly was not Varley's fault. I mean, it was the man was wide open, and you know, I mean, you're down a man. It was a good power play goal. But, damn, I mean, you know, it was
– It's going like that for him right now.
Yeah,
like, if you look at it, like, I get it. This is not me saying, like, Grice is a starter by any means, but you got to – I think you guys would definitely both agree, I hope, that you got to go back to Grice against L.A., right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
I think you go back to the rotation until somebody starts showing that they've got confidence.
If Grice – now, let me just say this then, because if Grice loses – if Grice gets you a point, you go with Grice because he's getting you points and wins – and it but might not look pretty, but he's getting you points. Dude, it doesn't matter. He played well enough to get you a point. It is what it is. It's not just about black and white. It's about how the team feels when they play in front of another guy. Like, I'm telling you, it goes into – you got to count that into effect because you look at the numbers with Varlamov, the team's getting blown out.
Just think about it this way, Ben. This is the best way that I think maybe Kenny and I can try to explain it to you as somebody who hasn't played the game competitively. But as a fan, you kind of get the same feeling as you do as a player. When you would watch the Isles last year and you saw Leonard in net, big frame, quiet player, makes the stops, like, you know how you felt just, like, secure? Like, even when it would be, like, a two-on-one, you're like, Leonard's got this. You know, you just felt that way.
You're making me happy. Stop making. Now
right.
I'm in.
Okay. Now, that's the same way that you feel as a player. When you know you've got a killer goaltender, you just play with a different sense of pace, a different level of confidence. You know that they're going to really have to beat you to get one by your goaltender. Last year with Leonard, I want to remind you guys and I want to remind everyone listening, when Leonard would let in a goal, one goal, the whole team, including Leonard, would look pissed off. They would take it personal. Like, no, that doesn't happen again. You do not have that this year. It just doesn't feel the same way. When Leonard would let a goal in, he would be angry. You'd see it. And it was like, all right, boys, like there, oh, you angered the beast. Now forget it. When Grice lets one in or Varley lets one in, it's like, you know, that like shoulder shrug, that droop. It's not woe is me. These guys are professionals and they're very good at what they do. I'm exaggerating, you know, but it just feels different. Am I wrong?
No.
I'll let you go first and then I'll finish that up, that thought.
Yeah. Well, because at first I thought the direction that you were going to, like, explain it in was from the perspective of getting goals versus giving up goals. Because I was thinking, like they didn't quit when Varley let it, when Varley let in the shit goal. But that's not the direction you're going, and you're talking about like the confidence on the ice, and that makes a ton of sense actually. And I was thinking about it, and I think that's the difference between Lehner and Greiss last year. Now that I'm thinking about it, it was psychological because the numbers weren't different, or substantially. The difference might have been just that you felt secure with Lehner. You had that pissed off reaction when a goal would go in. They'd played just as well with Greiss in net, but they played just as well because they had Lehner in net.
I agree to a certain extent, but if you use that same logic, if you're going to choose a goalie that the team believes in more right now, has a chance to believe in more, is Greiss, because Greiss has gotten most of these guys to the second round before. He had just as good of a year as Lehner last year, minus the whole great public story about blah, blah, blah. It's all been covered. You know, his numbers were just as good. And Varlamov is struggling big time right now. And like I said, I sent in the text to you guys. Yeah, everyone plays hockey at a lower level than the NHL, so whatever. But my brother plays goalie. If he's first shot on net or two shots on net, he's bobbling the puck and like, it's like, whoa. All right, like everyone is on edge now. You can't just play loose. You can't go up the ice and maybe like make that pinch that you would, because now your goalie is like struggling. These guys are professionals. They notice that. You don't think they notice the first save that the guy makes is like a little suspect? It was an easy shot. Should have either controlled the rebound completely, but he didn't. It was like an adventure. That was like Halak here, kind of. You know, it just didn't work out. But you look at the numbers and the save percentage, and that all might look the same, but Greiss is getting you points right now, and this is since January 13th. The guy's got one win, Varlamov, and Greiss has gotten you 1, 3, 6. He's gotten you like 6 out of 10 points in the past. So I'm going with him. You got to go back with him against LA. If he wins in LA, you play him again, because you got to ride someone right now. And Varlamov, the way he looks, it's not good. That save should have been made 10 times out of 10. It doesn't matter. After that, it doesn't matter about the 28 shots he saved. You know, that's just...
I agree completely, but Kenny, don't you think if we play LA, I think it's at home, or is it not? It's at home?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We play LA at home, like the worst team in the West, truly awful hockey team, and we win 4-3, and the shots totals is like 40-25. So Greiss has in 3 goals on 30 shots, but we win. You're sticking with him?
Yeah.
Sorry, 3 goals on 25 shots. You're sticking with him?
Yeah. 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 Definitely.
It depends, Ben. I mean, it's hard to just throw numbers out there and say, okay, would you or wouldn't you? I think it's all about the feel. You know, for example, if the Isles are up 4-1 and, you know, two kind of crap goals go in towards the end there, I don't think that's a huge deal. If Greiss is looking shaky and the team has to battle back, I mean, you know, you got to just look at what the situation is before you do that.
Yeah,
I really think unless a goalie is really looking solid, I just think you go back to that rotation.
Exactly. Because
I think we've seen Greiss, when you give him too much of a workload, and I'm not saying back-to-back, you know, 2 games in a row is too much of a workload, but
these guys are rested right now.
But there's a reason why every coach, whether it's Trotz, whether it was Doug Weight, Jack Capuano, like, no one would play Greiss consistently unless they absolutely had to with injuries. So, like, that tells you something.
I get it. It's fine. But, I mean, if you just want to keep losing every other game or having at this point, like, if he wins a game for you, I'm going with him. Just because you look at the sample size, the last 6 games they've been in net. And it's one guy's opposite the other one. So, I mean, at some point, there is, as much as you could say all the negative things about Greiss, I could say that this guy's going to go on a 7-game winning streak, because that's what happens. Like, that's what this guy does. At least the team in some sort of combination of him playing in a ton of games. Like, the team goes on streaks, and he's done it before. Like, so
Playing
and he's
two
playing,
out of
a,
every
playing
three.
For a contract
he's looking
too.
Good.
He's playing for a contract too. So.
Yeah, he is.
Let's go. Like, let's ride him, dude. We've been to the second round with this guy. He was the only reason why we made it to the second round against Tampa Bay. To play Tampa Bay against Florida. Like, him and Tavares, no questions asked. They were both equally as important. And they were both very important. The only reason why.
Alan Quine, slap shot Thomas from the top Dickey. Of the circle. yep.
And it's the type of goals that, this type of shots on goal too. Ben, just to say, 28 shots, it looks nice on paper, but like it depends on where they're from and where the goals get let in from. Like for example, that game against the Rangers when he let in that goal to make it 3-2, or it was to make it 3-1 or something. That one on the side of the net, like what?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's let in a couple. Varley has let in a couple of really bad ones lately.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And when Greiss lets in a goal, it's a little bit more acceptable to the team, I think. Like, okay, we definitely can see where we messed up there, but hey, the other ones is the team has everything covered and you let in a crap goal. That's completely different.
Yeah.
That's the difference between Greiss and Varlamov right now.
I made a mistake in going by numbers, and you guys pointed that out well. Mm-hmm. I think what I meant to say was the Vancouver game didn't give me confidence. Like, I like Greiss. I think he's a very good goaltender. So a better way of saying it is I don't think Greiss played well against Vancouver, and I think going back to Varley was the right decision. I think obviously go back to Greiss because Varley played like shit, but – if Greiss has another Vancouver game, I have a hard time saying, all right, go out again in Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be a little more than convincing. It's got to be like less than – it's got to be two goals or less. And
You may end up seeing Varley next game and Greiss against Tampa just for matchup's sake.
If they're going to start doing that, I don't know if you start doing
every
that.
Every point is important, man. Like,
if they were going to do that, then how'd you not play Greiss against the Rangers every single game? The guy's undefeated versus the Rangers, and he's the only reason why we won one game.
You'd think that the team would have shown up a little bit better in those first couple of games.
And that's what I'm saying.
All right, let's pivot away from that. I think we all agree Greiss is definitely going to start against LA, but he probably won't because we all agree. So – there's that. I want to talk about two things in the Dallas game that impressed me. The first being that Matt Barzal tying goal. Oh my god. With stick between the legs, basically on the goal line, chips it up like that's a great goal. That's a great goal. Second thing I want to talk about is the resilience of the team to tie it up after the goaltender interference. Now, Anders Lee bumps Bishop. Bishop's he's kind of like right on the tip of the paint. Bishop's a big dude. It was pretty obvious goaltender interference. When they went and challenged it, I texted you, Ben, and Kenny right away, and I said, that's not staying. Like, that's coming back, definitely. But for them to get that – for them to tie it up anyway, you know, keep the power play pressure on and tie it up, I was very impressed with that. So I got to say – hats off to Matt Barzal for showing that he's just an elite hockey player. And kudos to the Islanders power play for plugging away and essentially scoring twice when they really needed it.
It's helpful when you get more than a power play and a half.
Yeah. But you know how I feel. But you know how I feel about that. You earn your power plays. And
Let me ask you this. Is the rule – because they've changed the rule so many times. I feel like, is the rule if he touches the goalie at all, it's no goal?
No.
Because if that's the case, that was a bullshit call.
No, dude.
He was leaning the wrong
directions,
way.
Man.
He was leaning the wrong way already. He wasn't trying to make a move that way. So that's bullshit. And that also piggybacks on the bullshit call from the game before.
Yeah, well, okay.
So the referees are kind of screwing the Islanders, and they're stepping up here. So, like, I think it was a big game, but that was a bullshit call.
You don't agree that was goaltender interference?
No. Okay. If the rule is if he makes contact with him in any kind of way and it's no goal, then that's fine. That's the rule. But he did not impede him doing anything. He didn't even look. He didn't even choose the right direction to look.
He absolutely picked him and stopped him from getting over. I mean, come on, man. Like, you really don't think so?
No, he didn't even try to make the move. What did he move? I have to see the video again because I'm not seeing it the way you guys are seeing it.
Here's the thing. It's
I just watched it a minute, like 10 minutes ago. So,
well, here's the thing that's – and it's the thing in all sports, I think, is Bishop makes absolutely no attempt to not be interfered with. That being said, Lee did interfere with him. So that's where there's that line is like when you're trying to earn – it's the same thing with Matt Barzell – Matt Barzell's embellishment call, and it sucks because that part's a little bit different because Barzell doesn't get calls if he doesn't embellish, so he like kind of has to. But if you milk a penalty, that doesn't make it not a penalty.
Sure, and that's why it was both.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it was both. No, Matt Barzell's in a tough spot because every game there's at least one or two calls that go missed on him, and so now he's trying to embellish a little bit, and he's in a tough spot. I have the rule up right now with by 69, nice. So the standard for overturning the call in the event of a goal call on the ice is that the NHL Situation Room, after reviewing any and all available replays and consulting with the referee who made the original call, determines that the goal should have been disallowed due to interference on the goalkeeper. Let's see. Determines that the goal on the ice should have been allowed because either, one, there was no actual contact of any kind initiated by the attacking player with the goalkeeper, or the attacking player was pushed, shoved, or fouled by a defending player, causing the attacking player to come into contact with the goalkeeper, or, three, the attacking player's positioning within the crease did not impair the goalkeeper's ability to defend his goal and, in fact, has no discernible impact on the play. So, I mean, you're
talking. I just watched it. And the thing that I don't. All right. Anders Lee hits his right leg. If the shot was to his right, then his leg would be impeded from moving to the right. Okay? He got hit. He got touched on the pad, literally. This is what this was. He didn't get hit. He touched his pad, okay, made contact with his pad, and the shot beats him on the left side because he chose to look around too late because he was being screened. Like, I don't think that it impeded him from making the save. He didn't even make a move, and he could have made the move because he wasn't being impeded by Lee. Like, I mean, I just don't get
it. I don't know. I thought when I saw it, I thought it was textbook goaltender interference. You're bumping the goalie. The goalie's in his crease. He's got his positioning established, and the shot comes across as he's getting bumped. Like, it doesn't matter where he's getting bumped. You can make, you know, he gets hit.
We should move on.
Yeah.
We're talking about a goaltender interference call, and the best part of the most important part of this call was that they still scored on that power play.
Bring a little positivity in here.
It's all a good thing, though. I get it. But I just think the refereeing has been against us as well. It's not just the goaltender.
It's been bad. No doubt. I mean, so the good thing is what? The Owls have gotten 5 out of the possible 6 points in their last 3 games, counting the last game before the break and these two coming up. I think take the win against the Kings and then play a hell of a game against Tampa. That's, you know, because you have to, unfortunately, you just have to keep playing out of your minds with the way that this division's going. And I don't know. I mean, you'd almost want to be in like that Atlantic wild card spot, but you got to go through the Bruins in the first round. Maybe. You know, so like the Metro is just this first round this year, if the Owls get in, is going to be just savage. No matter who they're up against, every team is playing well right now.
Yeah, our best matchup is Pittsburgh again, probably.
Maybe. I mean, Flyers are breathing down our necks. You know,
but in a 7-game series, who would you want to play the most out of all these teams?
Well, you mean all the teams that are in the mix right now?
Yeah.
The Leafs.
The Leafs don't have a goaltender right now. I would say I'd want to play Columbus probably. They don't have the star power just like we don't. So that's a game that we can grind them out. I think right now Pittsburgh's playing really well, and if we get them in the first round, you know they're going to be wanting revenge from last year. So I don't want Washington right now. I don't want Pittsburgh right now. I'd take Columbus. I'd take Philly. I mean, those are really going to be the only options. Unless I wouldn't want Boston either. So I'd want us to be in like that 2-3 spot, and I'd want Pittsburgh to drop, but I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, 30 games left. I mean, still, 60 points on the table here. So there's definitely going to be some movement, but I think no matter what, it's going to be a tough first round. And I'll tell you what, if this roster is what it is, if they get into that, I don't think they get out of the first round like this. They don't have the horses.
It'd be hard to, for sure. And you're looking at, I said, when we predicted last week, I said that they'd be the third seed and lose to Pittsburgh in probably, you know, 5, 6, 7 games. And it's hard to see them, you know, doing better than that. That being said, I also said last week that first four games back, we'd be getting 6 points, 2 wins and 2 overtime losses, or 3 wins and a loss. So I will take 3 points in our next 2 games. I would rather 4.
Yeah.
Especially because we're playing the Kings.
I'm going to start calling you Ben Stradamus. Do you know who Nostradamus is, Ben, or are you too young?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just checking. All right. Well, look, what do you guys want to end with? The floor is yours. Any closing thoughts?
Nah.
I don't know.
Nah, I'm good.
I think we covered it all, honestly. It's like that was a lot for 2 games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the schedule upcoming is going to be pretty brutal. I know we're playing every other day, so that should be interesting.
Yeah. Back to the gauntlet. Well, we're gonna try for a fun guest next week. We'll see if we can make it happen. I don't want to reveal who it is, just in case we can't. But it's someone who is heavily involved in the Isles community that I think you guys will really enjoy us having him on. So definitely look forward to that. Anything else, Ben?
I was gonna say that like every other game is really, it's like a home stretch, but it's like half the season almost. It's crazy.
Yeah, and we're rapidly approaching the trade deadline, which I don't want to talk about until it's over, because I'm just
It
not.
Feels like when rumors actually surface, we're farther from a trade.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm like, stop talking about Hainsey and Pageau and all this. Like, I don't want to hear about it. It's not. Yeah. It's like, no.
Actually,
it's not.
I do want to ask you quickly,
yeah,
both of you. Would you take a salary dump if it also means getting – because that's what it is if you're getting – that's what it's looking like, is if you're getting Pageau, you're getting another – you're also getting an Ottawa salary dump, which, by the way, is genius from Ottawa, because Pageau you're not going to need anyway. Plus, Ottawa have a decent chance of re-signing him in the summer anyway, so why not get rid of Hainsey or Anisimov while you're at it? So,
well,
genius.
Hainsey, I like Hainsey. Hainsey, he's a really good bottom pairing defenseman.
And he played with Lou in Toronto, right?
Yeah. I like Hainsey. I think that's a.
Yeah, I don't like Dobson not playing.
Okay, no, but you know what? You're gonna need 7D when the wars begin. You need the players, dude. Man. Like, you can't be calling up Sebastian Aho in, you know, 10 games left in the season, making a playoff push and going into the first round. I'm sorry, but you need a veteran. You need a bigger body that, you know, can eat up some minutes in the bottom six and is trustworthy. And that's
so then Ron Hainsey. So then let's do it.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's a good
on
move.
The papers.
Yeah. Think of how much better our defense is going to be next year when Pelech's back and all the experience Dobson's got. We're going to have the most underrated defense in the league if we can bring back Pulak and Taves, of course. But that's going to be crazy because Dobson's looked good.
Noah Dobson looked.
He's looked good the past couple games.
He has. He's looked really good.
Stay tuned because I will be saying how amazing and more comfortable and just overall amazing my amazing Noah Dobson is. Because
he's looking good. But, you know, whenever you have the opportunity to bring in a special player like Ron Hainsey, and
I thought you were going in a different direction with that.
You can add Mr. Pageau as well. We're very sorry to be moving away from Mr. Bellows and Joshua Hosang, but at the end of the day, we feel that this will improve our hockey club and hopefully give
when
us
you have time.
The resources that we need to make a strong push for the Stanley Cup championship.
You just forgot that when you have time, you take it.
When you have time, you take it.
That, like, the breathiness that you brought to that, that was...
And that's from someone we're going to reveal our guest next week. Lou Lamoriello will be joining the podcast.
Yeah, that's who it is.
I told you guys before, please don't make promises you don't intend to keep. I've got tea with Barry at 12. Mr. Malkin and Mr. Ledecky are going to show me some of the rebar and riveting going on in Belmont. This is all too busy. I can't be bothered with trades right now. Have a great night. So anyway. That wasn't
so
great.
Lou is
I'll,
our guest
I'll work
next
on
week.
It. I'll
he
work on
it.
We,
this
yeah,
week.
We could do a Lou Lamoriello interview at some point.
No, we just did.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Lou questions.
Was that not Lou?
I'm going to ask Lou questions next week.
Yeah, no, he's just leaving my house now, actually.
Hey, Lou, how come you didn't get us Panarin?
You know, Kenneth, the price of bread has been rising. And we offered what I thought was fair compensation for the whole loaf. But apparently, he liked the big bright lights of Manhattan.
Lou, I have one more question. Why are your eyes so far apart?
Mr. Cohen, please.
Why are your eyes so far apart?
Next question. All the better to see you with, my dear.
Okay, big bad wolf.
All right. We're having way too much fun.
Lou had to be put away.
Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. As always, you can find us on Anchor FM. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us at Lou Lamoriello's house late at night. Follow us on Facebook at the Long Island Sound. And hit us up on Twitter. Ben's at LISound_. I'm at KaijuBlue13. Let's go get some points against the Kings. For Ben and Kenny, I am Damon and Lou. Later.